This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Welcome back to the Own It Show Coach Conversations. I'm Justin.
I'm Elise. Welcome to the show.
And guys, I know you've heard from me over and over and over again about health optimization, different biohacks you can do, different focuses and ownership that we need to take within your health, and why health is really, truly the new wealth and how it's driving your performance in every way, shape, and form. And so I figured you guys were sick of hearing from me. And so I brought on the UK's leading biohacker and very well known in this space, Tim Gray. And I'm so excited to have him with us today to really hear his story and how focusing in this area has truly changed his life, but also to allow him to provide his knowledge to you guys on some different things that maybe we haven't spoken about before, or he'll say it in a different way so that it's actually something that is something that's taken into adoption. So Tim, again, thank you so much for taking the time and energy to join us today and share your knowledge with our crew.
Thanks for having me.
So Tim, kind of give us some guidance into how you became interested in this space. It's not, it's obviously become a very sexy field. Everybody wants to be a knowledge broker and a believer in this space, but it's another thing to have truly lived it, experienced it, taken full ownership of it, dove deep into it, been obsessed with it, and being the leader in the space that's now providing a lot of that knowledge that's being shared around the world.
Mm-hmm. It's really basic, actually. I just got ill, and this is before biohacking or health optimization was, I guess, fashionable, also popular. There wasn't bulletproof coffee everywhere and all these things, and Instagram wasn't full of health influencers. It was literally just pictures of people on vacation. But I got ill, and it got to the point where the doctors just shrugged their shoulders and said, there's nothing wrong with you. And you know, after about a year of this going on, from being, you know, a very busy business guy to being sick like one of my employees, I always felt used excuses when they were off sick. I realized what, you know, chronic health issues were. And on the way back from the doctor's clinic, I kind of thought, this is enough. So I started researching, and I dealt with it like a business issue. So for instance, in my company, if I had to strategize or had to pull the team in on things, I'd have a pack of post-it notes. I'd write everything down, get the team to stick them up on the walls, put them into hierarchy of how we should do problem solution on everything. And I just did that with my health. And I realized that everything traced back to one issue, which was actually mercury poisoning for me. I had a mouthful of amalgam fillings. I'd been eating sushi pretty much all day, every day for years. And I realized I had mercury poisoning. So I went down the route of mercury detoxification, which was one thing which caused a whole load of other issues. But eventually it came out that I had genetic component to it as well, which is why I didn't detox mercury as well as some other people. So really it was having a whole load of symptoms and thinking in a business problem solution mindset of how to fix these things. And then after about 5 years of doing that, working on my health and constantly improving it, realizing that, you know, I'd been operating at probably 70% for many years without even realizing it before I was ill, realizing that when I optimize my health and do some of these things that I can perform so much better. And I kind of like got hooked on it. And that's when I heard about bulletproof coffee back in 2015-ish, somewhere like that, maybe 2014. And then I realized that I was a biohacker, without even realizing what biohacking was. So it kind of progressed from there pretty much, and I continued to optimize my health. I went to the Bulletproof Conference in 2017, realized that there's a massive community of people. It wasn't just me, that this crazy health freak doing things and tracking things and doing liver flushes and gut cleanses and all this stuff. Came back to London, realized there wasn't any community, started a meetup group, which grew to pretty big very quickly, like 500 people within a few months. But a lot of people didn't really resonate with the word biohacker just because of, you know, it seems quite techy. So I just updated the name to be Health Optimization and Biohacker London. And then the group grew to thousands. And then I started a summit and the rest is history, as they say.
What a great story, Tim. And the ownership that you continued to prove through this entire process is evident. One of the things that we talk about, Justin and I often talk about, is how ownership is different. And you said exactly that. You're going out, you realize before biohacking was even a thing that you're a biohacker, there wasn't even a community, so you decided to start your own. One of the things I'm really curious about, and I think our listeners would love to hear, is the mindset component of this. Now, as you're going through this, this is something that could easily throw many people off. I can't figure out what's wrong. It's something that is so demotivating. How did you continue to wake up every day to say, nope, I'm going to figure this out and continue to push through to ultimately where you're at today?
What a great question. I'm stubborn, but not necessarily in a negative sense so much. More persistent, I guess, would be probably like, one, I don't want to give up. Two, I got to a point where I'd been chronically ill for so long and I had so many issues. Actually, I was standing in a hospital after having an operation, dripping with blood at the time. And it was like, I was at the edge. I couldn't sit down. I was dripping with blood and I holding onto the bed thinking, I can't do this any longer. And I looked out the window. It was a beautiful summer's day. I was in a private hospital room overlooking Lord's Cricket Ground. And I was just like, it could be a lot worse. I was like, I'm very, very lucky to be alive. And it could always be worse. And let's just enjoy every day I can. So for me, it's the drive of saying we have one chance or one life on this planet, and you want to make the most of it. And what do I have to do to make the most of it? You know, and I think the mindset of always looking on the bright side, but not tricking yourself and still being a realist is really important. So for me, it's just the sheer need to enjoy this existence and to thrive. And then, yeah, that's basically it. I really can't put it into words better than that.
It's, again, I love that concept. And I mean, the story is so, it resonates so heavily with me because I've got 5 or 6 stories of the same thing where it was my health that had deteriorated multiple times. Doctors continue to say, hey, you're fine, only to understand that I'm not fine. There's nobody that knows our bodies better than ourselves. And if we're being truly aware of what's going on and truly listening to what our body's telling us, we're going to understand that, hey, something isn't right. And I'm curious to know, what was it within you that continued to make you push forward and say, hey, all these doctors are incorrect. These people who are have years of experience, have years of education, are glorified by society as the leaders in the space and are telling me that I'm wrong, but yet I know that there's something not right here. What gave you the confidence and the clarity to continue to keep seeking answers, but ultimately to take it upon yourself?
Everyone thinks they're smarter than everyone else in some way. Like everyone, like for instance, you know, when you see a car accident, for instance, I'm talking to myself, you see a car accident, you go, yeah, but I'd be more diligent than that. Or if someone trips over in the street and you go, oh, that wouldn't happen to me. And then when it does, you're like, oh, yeah, whatever. And so I think when it comes to some of these doctors, and I've been in psychology, or should I say, I studied psychology and applied it for many, many, many years, over 20 years, actually, and have started, scaled and sold multiple companies. And so I like to think that I'm able to solve problems quite well. That doesn't mean that I think that I'm better than anyone else. I don't, but everyone does kind of have this will I think differently approach? So when I'm sitting in front of a doctor that doesn't necessarily understand my issue as well as I do, he might from a biochemical point of view, but not necessarily the history and all the intricacies, I'm sitting there thinking, he doesn't know exactly what I'm talking about here. I can do better. And I think that's what it held down to. You know, it's like a very good friend of mine, a well-known surgeon and one of our speakers, actually, I said to him once, how did you get this home? It's on the side of a hill. It's got beautiful glass fronted. It looks over the whole of the town. You know, you've got absolutely everything in life you could ever possibly wish for. And he said, I went to the bank and said, I'm having this house. How do I make it happen? He didn't say, you know, oh, I don't earn enough or I don't have enough. He said, how do I make it happen? And I think that's the mindset that I like to be in. It's like, there is a way around everything. It's just a matter of finding it. In fact, that's one of the most guiding questions of my whole life. So when it came to my health, it's just like, there's a way around it. What is it? Not, oh, I have to put up with this, or, oh, I have to, you know, live like this, or, oh, I've got a bad knee and I'm going to have to live with a bad knee for the rest of my life and make peace with it. It's like, no, I'm going to fight my way out of it.
When you first started getting these answers and it was, hey, there's nothing wrong with you, you continue to have this drive to continue to take ownership, to continue to say, hey, I'm gonna find a way around this. What were your first steps that you took to seek clarity in these spaces to get more answers?
I just started researching online every resource I could. And I think if you look at medical funded sites, you don't know who's funded them and whether you can trust them. So if you start looking at forums, you know, and then this is where I think big data comes in, because for instance, sleep studies are great. They have 50 to 100 people in them. They've been funded, they might be biased. Whereas when you have an Oura Ring, for instance, it's got hundreds of thousands of people aren't using it, and you get to see big data, which tells you, you know, a more of an unbiased view. So when I look at forums, I would look at forums about this problem and look at the patterns and then know what I think is right or not. And then look at the medical sites to see if they actually linked up with that to see that I wasn't going mad. So it was just always searching for more data and piecing it all together. And I guess in a kind of a mind map, like a spider graph on the wall, set in post-it notes and bringing it all together and looking at what I should fix in what order. So it's just the sheer determination and study and looking at the data the best I could. And I think that's why biohacking does so well, because of the data itself. It's like, if you start wearing blue blocking glasses 3 hours before bed and all of a sudden you see your deep sleep double, I mean, it's pretty obvious there's, you know, causation there. And you do that over the space of 2 weeks in your own data, and it might not work for someone else, then that's, you can't really push back against that. So I think, you know, in terms of real world data in each of these areas, I think you can't beat it.
Right. And it's clear that in everything that you are trying to bring to light, it's something that worked for you and is improving your health and helping. Those tips and tricks are things that are helping others as well. The other thing that I noticed in what you're saying is, through your story, there's a clear before and after. There was a pain point, which was you getting really sick, becoming very ill, figuring out that it's mercury poisoning, trying to find a way through that. But again, there's a clear before and after. Now, that's essentially what we call ownership, is once you go through this really difficult point in your life and come out of it with the strong mindset, the success, everything that you have today, it's essentially making the best of a situation that could have completely torn you down. Talk to us a little bit about life, how life has changed for you since then.
Cool. You're full of the good questions today, not the usual ones. Life's radically changed. For me. I mean, I've worked in an office my whole life, my own offices with my own team. And while I had semi-flexible hours, I'd still stuck to one location. And I think once I'd improved my health and realized, you know, seen the patterns of what you need for health, I sold my previous companies and started from nothing again, and almost nothing. And so in terms of mindset, It installed the mindset of there's a way around everything. It's just a matter of finding it, even more so. I wanted to release myself of having to be in one location the whole time. So I said I wanted to be in multiple countries around the world. I wanted to optimize my health. I wanted to spread awareness of what other people can do to optimize their health as well. And I didn't want to spend my savings on doing it. No, I've hit the first three of those. I'm still trying to monetize it, but that's the least important. So really, I'm location independent. I'm in, 30 different cities a year minimum, and opposed to stuck in one office. And I have a team around the world and friends all around the world, opposed to just in a little office in the center of London. So I mean, really, in terms of that and my health flourishes because I can be near the sea. I have clean air. I'm grounding every day. I buy the best food I possibly can and prioritize buying the best food opposed to the best belts or suits or the best shoes. Less materialistic for sure, and enjoy my own time opposed to dreading having quiet time to myself. So it's really, from a mental, a psychological aspect, and from the health aspect, and from the physical location aspect, and the spiritual one as well, it's a massive shift. It's almost like I'm a different person. I mean, 15 years ago, I was smoking 35 cigarettes a day.
You talk about how the community within the biohacking space or this, it's become very fashionable. It's become very fashionable to speak about, very fashionable to talk about, kind of get on a bandwagon and say, oh, I wear blue light blocking glasses at night, but I still stay up until 1 a.m. in the morning. I take the nootropics and I dabble in a lot of the high-end NAC supplements and a lot of these things that are supposed to create longevity and optimize us. However, I still have takeout 5 days a week. And it's looking at the sexy top of the pyramid stuff rather than looking after the holistic, solid, big data habit changes that require true health optimization. What do you think it's going to take to be able to bring that more mainstream and take the sexiness out of it and actually apply something that's more purposeful, actionable, and intentional in these types of changes?
I feel like I'm working on that already. And I think about 3 years ago, it must be mid-2018, I kind of set out, one thing that is very apparent in the biohacking space specifically is that it's generally expensive. It's perceived as for the rich kids that don't need to work. And so when I relabeled it to health optimization, actually, it was very strategic on my part. It's like when we stopped people on Oxford Street in London, which is the busiest shopping street in Europe, and said to them, do you want to biohack yourself? We had less than a tenth of a percent say yes. And in fact, most people didn't even know what it was, and it was around that number. When we said, do you want to optimize your health? We had 95% of people said yes, a healthful performance. 4% of people said no, but a loved one. And 1% roughly of people just pushed us out of the way because they were busy London work people, just get out of my way, thinking that we're trying to get money. So the point is biohacking has a very small reach, but an amazing niche. Health optimization is the goal, and people know what that goal is. They are one in the same thing. So really, to bring it more mainstream and more of a lifestyle, that's what I'm doing with health optimization. And I think the other thing is because it's perceived as very expensive, you can buy a red light stack for, 500 to $1,000. A hyperbaric oxygen chamber for $25,000 plus. But really, the pattern I noticed was that every single biohack had a natural equivalent. And so the line I often use is we're using technology to mimic a natural environment in an unnatural world. And so, for instance, if you need a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, well, that's because you haven't practiced your breath work and you might be mouth breathing. So compounded negative growth compound theory, but basically in the negative is if you're not breathing properly, you have bad posture, then you'll be starved of oxygen partially over a period of time. So something like hyperbaric oxygen therapy will boost you back up, get you back to baseline, but you'll still need to fix your breathing. So that's where nature, if you're actually doing breath work, you can do biohacking with your breath work. And it's the same with red light therapy. If you're not seeing sunrise or sunset and you're light deficient, then you can use devices to replicate that to speed up healing and things. So really, Mother Nature is amazing. We evolved as we are for a reason, in the environment with the things around us that we have, and the things that are killing us are the things that we didn't evolve with. But we can use biohacks to bring us back up to speed. An example would be if broccoli, for instance, is deficient in magnesium these days, and we're still eating broccoli, we're going to be deficient in magnesium potentially. So supplementing with magnesium could be classed as a biohack. You could eat a ton more broccoli, granted, but, you know, a supplement really does fast track things. So really all we're doing is mimicking nature in some way. And I think the awareness around it, to round off on that, is that more and more people are realizing it because it is becoming more and more mainstream. They're not necessarily calling it biohacking, but you just have to go onto, Instagram and type in red light therapy or hyperbaric oxygen therapy or, Wim Hof breath work, any of these things. All these are biohacks to a biohacker, but maybe not to, Auntie Jane at home who does breath work because she knows her brain comes alive every morning if she does after her coffee. So, I think it is happening. And I think the other thing is that with current pandemics, people are more focused on what they can do for their health. I mean, some people do see that as a jab that they need to improve their health instead as the lifestyle changes. And that's fine by me. I'm not for or against it by any means, whatever people want to go with. But I think what my point is here is that people are realizing that they do need to take control in some way of their health. What that is, I don't know. And I think 99% of the world is is in that mindset now.
You bring up a really good point, and it's that nature gives us everything that we need. And for a lot of us, our lifestyles have done so that we've strangle-choked the natural gifts that the world and nature gives us to enhance our health and choke them out because of how busy we are, because of our habits, because of the way we live, our lifestyles, the choices we make. And we look for fast tracks, like you said, the supplements, the quick biohacks to get us back to baseline, where in actuality, if we just changed our behaviors slightly, it actually optimizes us in a better way, which once we start supplementing or using some of these other tools, it'll take us above and beyond where we actually would be at a regular basis. And I'm curious because, you talk about the Instagram influencers and how it's this whole space is very sexy. It's very fashionable. People want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to get noticed. And a big thing I always say is, play your game, not the guru's game, because everybody's telling you what you should do. You should do this because it worked for me. You should do this because it's cool right now. It's in, it's the new fad. But rather in your, and again, I've given our listeners a lot of ways in which they can figure out what their game is, what truly matters to them. Again, whether it's a Whoop band, whether it's an Oura ring, whether it's using heart rate monitoring, whether it's gut biome testing, DNA testing, you name it, we've gone across the gamut. But I'm curious in your opinion and in your expertise, what do you suggest people do in order to figure out what it is that they need personally in order to establish a new baseline of habit so that they're not going and just doing another random act that may or may not benefit them? And to the example you gave of the blue light glasses, one person, they wear it 3 hours before bed. Perfect. They got, they doubled their REM or slow wave sleep, versus somebody else does the same thing and there's no change. It obviously has an impact on one person. It doesn't have it on the other. What is your suggestion in helping people figure out which habits are going to optimize them the best?
What an amazing question. And it leads me perfectly into, actually, I recently built a course on exactly this because so many people have said to me, and I've only got about, I say only, I guess it's quite a lot nowadays, 60-ish thousand followers on Instagram. But even when I was at about 5,000, I would be asked every day, where do I start? What do I do? I'm completely lost with all this stuff everywhere. So I'd been asked, you know, thousands of times. In fact, I got a template to reply when someone says, where do I start? I put start here, and then it pre-populates a whole load of text. There are basics and fundamentals that need to be put in place for every single human being on this planet. And I call them the fundamentals of health. And without them, we can't flourish. We just can't. So regardless of all of these other biohacks, you know, whether hyperbaric oxygen therapy works for someone, or red light, blue blocking glasses, or red light therapy or whatnot, if people don't have these basics in place, they're not going to work right. They're not going to work right. And I won't bore you with all of them in detail, but just to give you a quick skip through, and you can, you know, choose to dig into any of them, is sleep optimization, or should I say, it's more about circadian rhythm, optimizing your day to optimize your night. And that means, you know, waking at a certain time, sleeping at a certain time, eating before a certain time. And these all have biological reasons to do so. Hydrating correctly. You know, we evolved drinking stream water, which was mineral rich, not tap water that's full of chemicals, or bottled water that is mineral deficient. You know, we evolved moving and exercising, not sitting on the sofa watching Netflix every day. We evolved with natural light or sunlight, depending on our heritage, you know, different points on the globe, which meant that different tones of skin would need different amounts of light, and we wouldn't be covered in clothes in a house with fake blue light. So therefore, you know, light is energy for us, and that helps fuel our mitochondria for energy production. We didn't evolve with processed foods. We just didn't, you know, and even if people say, oh, there's no studies proving that processed food is bad for us. The point is if we look at the data, we evolved, with natural food. We did not evolve with processed food and chemicals. And we are at the sickest point in our whole history. You know, we're living longer, but we're sicker for longer. So yeah, eating naturally. We also wouldn't necessarily be stressed, worried about paying the car insurance or having to go to the shops or, you know, paying bills. So our cortisol wouldn't be spiking so frequently, you know, when we actually had a real physical threat. And cortisol stops so many different things in the body from happening because it always thinks it needs to run away from a threat. Therefore, you know, we don't heal properly. So there's, you know, there's the fundamentals of health really that need putting in place. And the final one of relevance is earthing, or grounding, which is getting more and more popular now, I'm very, very happy to say. And it's the practice of just getting your shoes off and standing in the grass or on the beach or in some soil, and connecting with the earth, because there's a flow of free electrons which neutralize free radicals in the body, which reduces inflammation and promotes healing. And it maintains or rebalances our electrical system, and we are electrical creatures. So, you know, having these things in place means the body can flourish. Without them, we can't. And there's no point taking another supplement or using another device or any of these things unless you've got these basics in place.
Tim, it's so clear that you have made a life out of this. And you are certainly somebody who lives in ownership. You went from working in a small office, sitting for most of the day, to now traveling to over 30 cities throughout a year and living the lifestyle that you want while having the health that you want as well. Now, this is one of our favorite questions that our listeners love to hear. What to you, in a word or a short phrase, does ownership mean?
Ownership is a very raw word already. I mean, it's to be accountable to it, to say, I'm not going to rely on anyone or anything else. I'm going to make this happen. I think actually I've got a tattoo on my wrist that it means is an alchemist symbol hybrid, and it means I can do it. And it reminds me every day, actually it's programmed into my brain now, but yeah, if you want something, make it happen, go get it. Like, you can do it. So it's being accountable, being responsible for yourself and making it happen, and not letting any excuse or any self-limiting belief or anyone else around you convince you otherwise. That's it.
Ownership is making it happen.
Love that, Tim. It's I love having these conversations with people intelligent like yourself, being able to really dive into this. It's a huge passion of mine. It's something that I've given my entire life and my entire career to. And I love that there's other professionals out there like you that are helping spread this word, because it's the people that we impact, it's the influence in which we help in this world that truly provides that fulfillment and ultimate happiness at the end of the day, and helping people live longer, healthier, happier, and more optimized is really what it's all about. So thank you for doing what you do, and where can people find you, where can people interact with you, and get exposed to more of your work?
Yeah, so I can be found on Instagram mainly, Tim Biohacker. Who isn't on Instagram mainly these days? also the summit is healthoptimization.com, and that's with an S, not a Z, because I'm British and we're awkward. Instagram is the best place for me.
Fantastic. So guys, as you go forward, it's not about one thing. It's not about getting the newest fad, the newest trend, jumping into the newest supplement routine. It's about those baseline habits, about health optimization. It's what do you do consistently? What do you learn about yourself? What data do you start grabbing to know what it is that you need to do that's going to take you from A, where you are today, to B, where you want to be tomorrow? And the more that you can understand, the more influential you can get, it's ultimately going to create this long-term sustainability of health optimization, the true feel of what you want to do. Because the more aware that you can be with your body, the more impact you can have on yourself, the more guidance you can have, the more confident you can be to know, to seek a greater answer, to seek more clarity, so that you can ultimately take yourself from this feeling of tired and sick to this feeling of vibrant and energized by doing this health optimization. Remember, success is different. So be different and own it. We'll see you next week.